Good morning.
Good morning, Sean, and to your listeners.
Absolute pleasure to have you on the program again, Ring. Looking at the summit that we're speaking about this week, who did we actually see in attendance? Obviously, we see a great deal of African leaders, but I understand there were a few international leaders as well.
Yes, Sean. This year, African Summit, it was another platform where the leaders would come together and also discuss the issues that are facing the entire continent. And as you mentioned in your introduction, the war which is raging in neighboring country, South Sudan, they had dominating the summit basically, and we have seen some prominent leaders and also leaders of other countries and Tirirka members, UK and United States representative, were all in attendance, and perhaps there was a few leaders were missing in that summit. But the summit was predominantly dominated by the issues that are plaguing the continent, the war in Libya and also war in South Sudan, and also the fragility of insecurity in the region. It is the highlight of that summit.
Firstly, those armed conflicts that you mentioned there, Ring, do we see those in any way closer to a resolution?
Most of these conflicts, if we take the example perhaps South Sudan, it was one of the issues that has really dawned the African Union itself for quite some time now. It's complex. It's difficult to be resolved, but the issue, it is a political issue. If you look in the ground, the conflict in South Sudan started it as it is a struggle between the vice Dr. Riek Machar of South Sudan, and also the South Sudanese president. And the issue have moved from there into an armed conflict. So in the end, the solutions, it is in the hands of the two leaders that I've just mentioned. And people hoping, or rather the leaders in the African summit, they have seen the signing of the agreement that have taken place a week earlier in Khartoum, and they were trying to resolve that issue. But it still remains to be seen whether this signing of agreement would bring a lasting peace in that country, South Sudan.
And of course, we know governmental corruption is a major issue in Africa, in many African nations. And when we look at the situation, obviously it has terrible effects on the African people, the people of these various nations, but also has a serious effect on anybody looking to invest within the country. So it's almost this self-defeating cycle we see with a great deal of corruption. Is there any sort of word from the summit as to how they would look to face that as a unified Africa, look to face corruption as a unified Africa?
The issue I've just raised, Sean, it is the problem that is facing many African countries. But to be fair, the issue of corruption is aided by many other countries, like liberal democratic countries literally a parcel to that corruption is taking place in those countries, because most of the leaders from African countries, most of them, other countries in the West and also in other part of the world, they also spend their money. These leaders, they embezzle the money and they stash them away in an offshore account somewhere in abroad. And if all other nations would help in this area where this money, the stolen money, is returned back to where it came from, the issue will subside a little bit. But most of African countries face the issues of institutions. Their institutions aren't that really strong. Not all of them, but some of them do really struggle a lot with having a strong institution that will guide the mechanism of transparency and accountability. And that's why you see most of the conflict that we see around the continent now. A lot of it has to do with competition to resources and the statuses and employment. So a good example, you would have South Sudan now. You've got vice president and the president at each other's throat. And a lot of it has to do with economical viability, and also the issue of corruption is what have led to these young nations being plunged into war. So the issue of corruption will remain as the most obstacle that have a huge implication on the continent. But majority of the countries are recently are working hard to stamp out the issue of corruption. and they yet have to show whether their attempt to stamp out corruption is working.
Of course, it is funny when you mention of the Western liberal democracies that are complicit in these kind of actions, because I understand China is having huge influence in the Africa region and really investing a great deal of money in infrastructure and such in various African nations, but really not leaving much room for corruption to take root.
That is correct. China have invested heavily, and it has taken. This opportunity because the countries that are championing the democracy and right governance, like the United States, have stayed away for quite some time. And China actually have filled in the gap. And they're not filling the gap in a way that they're really improving the lives of the ordinary citizens. Rather, they're taking opportunity to exploit it even further. So this issue of exploitation, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop with China or even other countries. We have seen the Arabian countries also are infiltrating the continent. They're buying huge land to farm and also to ship out the product and leaving the continent or even the people impoverished not having anything to eat at all. Even though most of the producers come from their regions, but even within the region of East Africa, perhaps for example, South Sudan now it is in war. But if you look at the countries which are really benefiting the most are the neighboring countries. Like Sudan is the old Sudan is benefiting a lot from the oil transit fee and also the pledges that were made to be given to Sudan. If you look at Uganda, most of the food comes from Uganda right now, and a lot of it has to be bought with hard currency. So even the oil money that comes to that country, it yet is shipped out to the neighboring country. If you look at Kenya, most of the banking institutions are predominantly Kenyan in South Sudan. And Ethiopia, of course, is providing all the hospitality industries and the airports and things like that. So nothing is left for South Sudan. The exploitation continues from there.
And just finally, Ring, are there any other major takeaways we should know about from the summit?
Well, the summit it does try to attempt to resolve the issues that are plaguing the continent. One of them is the governorship, but more importantly, the focus is all about South Sudan. And basically, what I can say for the summit to suggest that the country should have more than three vies or four, that itself is a recipe for further conflict within the country. But perhaps the solution will come out from the very leaders that I've mentioned to you, Dr. Riek Machar and also the President Salva Kiir Mayardit, if they sat down and say, look, enough is enough, let us all sit down and resolve this issue, the country will find itself in that peace. And right now, South Sudan is the biggest obstacle to the African continent.
Ring, absolute pleasure getting you on the program. Thanks very much, mate. Appreciate your insights.
Thank you very much, Sean.